Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Coming at you live from somewhere between hell and paradise. You're listening to UMOR, Uncensored MMA Online Radio. This 15th day of October 2012. And as always, gang, each and every week, this show is brought to you by Tri-County Cab of Peoria, Illinois, Central Illinois' best cab company, 309-497-1111. Put it in your phone now for when you need it later. Don't get caught drinking and driving, y'all. So, Dave, you with me, brother?
Absolutely. And I really love that intro because I happen to live halfway between hell and paradise on the map, because Hell, Michigan's in the far south part of Michigan, and Paradise, Michigan is in the upper peninsula. If you put your fingers on both of those towns and then meet in the middle, you get Benzonia, right between hell and paradise.
Hell yeah, man. Up there in good old Michigan.
I'll tell you what.
So Dave,
great.
How was your weekend, man?
Oh, I had a great weekend. We had a show, a big show, lots of... You know what's happening in Michigan? All of a sudden, a bunch of the promoters are starting to get along and go to each other's shows. And we had a big show in Alma, Michigan, Big John's MMA, two title fights. Everything went really well there. 18 good fights, had a good time. Some amateur MMA. Of course, there was some pro MMA on. My weekend was grand. I stayed high.
Nice, brother. I work, well, you know me, I work every Friday and Saturday night. Got Sundays and Mondays off, and yesterday, I didn't do a damn thing. Later on, did some laundry is about all I did, man. Taking it
no
easy.
No chasing the muff around?
No, actually, I had it laying here right beside me. So I
nice.
Think that's probably why I wasn't doing a whole lot, man. But, you know, I got next weekend, next Saturday, I'm heading down to Springfield, Illinois. Dude, I have got an opportunity to meet the godfather of MMA. Mr. Hoyce Gracie's going to be down there doing a seminar, and me and our producer, Chris, and a few other fighters, we're going to go down there and meet Mr. Gracie, and I think a few of the guys are going to hang out for the seminar. I'm probably just going to take off after meeting Hoyce and head back home so I can get some sleep. But I'm pretty excited about that, man. That's Saturday, October 20th.
I'm going to be working.
Yeah, it's down in Springfield, Illinois. The meet and greet's from like 10 to 10:45 in the morning, and then they do they have a seminar and from like 11 to 1 or something like that. If
that
I can get
the
more
Simpsons
information.
Lived?
No, it turns out the Simpsons lived, I think it was Springfield, Oregon, I think was the Springfield that the Simpsons were finally from. But, you know, it's funny because in Springfield, Illinois, they've got a work camp. You know, they've got the fairgrounds. It's kind of funny. I mean, there are a lot of similarities to Springfield, Illinois. And Matt Groening, if I'm not mistaken, was from Richwoods High School, which is here in Peoria, Illinois. So it kind of made me wonder, if he wasn't talking about Springfield, Illinois, but turns out it was Springfield, Oregon. Oh, well.
Interesting. So where can they find information on this Hoyce Gracie seminar, anybody that's listening?
Well, you know what? I don't have the information about that in front of me. All I got was a text on the deal from Chris. So, Chris, I know you're listening. Text me the information on that Hoyce Gracie seminar so I can get it out there for the people. The other interesting thing from this weekend I saw something on Facebook, in regards to the Detroit Tigers and the New York Yankees. And, of course, everybody knows that, Derek Jeter is out, and the Yankees, they're down against the Tigers. But those Tigers are your beloved Tigers, Dave.
I'll tell you what, they're putting the big kibosh on the Yankees.
Oh, yes. Now, you said the big kibosh. You know, there's only one other man. There's only one man in this world that has coined that phrase, and that's the my favorite announcer and interviewer, Michael, the Voice Chiavello. I love that guy, dude. I love listening to him call fights.
Oh, he's one of my favorites. Honestly, him and Bob Bruce are my favorite. Frank Shamrock, of course. Frank Craig's good, too.
But the Voice, dude, without a doubt, is my favorite.
Well, and I realized he was a Yankee fan. And so, are we getting a little static?
No, huh? We're fine.
Okay. Okay, cool. But anyway, so I saw that he had a picture of a Yankee hat, and he was talking about the Yankees, and I went, your train stops here, dude. And I seem to remember him putting his hands up for Detroit City at a pay-per-view event that King of the Cage put on at Cobo Hall. So I threw that back at him. I said, you ain't putting your hands up for Detroit City anymore? He said, David, I was in Detroit, and I was scared of getting stabbed. Go Yankees. And I was like, so you were scared of taking more shots than 8 Mile. And
right?
So then we ended up formulating a bet, which he accepted. And if the Tigers beat the Yankees in this league championship series, we are going to be interviewing the interviewer. So for Halloween, he gets to play a character. He gets to dress up as an interviewee, and it's going to be Big Perm and the Butcher versus The Voice.
Hell yeah. Go Tigers!
Absolutely. I believe after the next two games, it's going to be, good night, Irene!
Oh, yes. Oh, man, that's fucking awesome, man.
But in all seriousness, I'm so humbled and stoked that I get to talk to this guy. Like you said, he's my favorite commentator. I love his interview.
Sure.
The Voice Versus series. He's had Hulk Hogan, Steven Seagal. Crazy the people he's had on there.
Oh, man, the best of the best. And he does such great interviews with these people. You know, I can't wait to talk to him and throw my best at him and see how things go, man.
Oh, certainly. And you know the Tigers are going to beat the Yankees, if not sweep them, and because they're just the best. And now, you know, of course, Kalamazoo, Michigan native, their best player, Derek Jeter, too bad. I'm really, honestly, too, he's one of my favorite shortstops of all time next to Ozzie Smith. And I just want to say that nobody ever wants to see anybody get hurt. And you always want to beat a team at their best. So,
for sure.
Our condolences for his season being over when we move on and beat the Cardinals in the World Series.
Yeah, go Tigers. Well, anyway, Dave, we got a great lineup this week. We have three different guests tonight. We're going to start off with Mike, the Marine Richmond. Mike is a Bellator fighter. He's coming off a 20-second knockout victory over Jeremy Spoon this past Friday at Bellator 76. Beautiful head kick. Did you see that fight?
Yes, absolutely saw that fight. It was one of the highlights of a great card that Bellator had this weekend. I'm stoked to have him on the show.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk more about that Bellator card and, what Bellator has coming up a little bit later on. We're also going to be joined. Our second guest will be Barb Honchak. Barb's an Invicta fighter. She's just coming off a victory over Ash the Bash at Invicta FC 3. We're going to talk to her. She has an opportunity at a title shot for the 125 title coming up here at either Invicta 4 or Invicta 5. We'll talk to her about that.
Yeah, she's got two fights. She's on a two-fight Invicta win streak and an accomplished professional female fighter.
She's got a TKO win over Bethany Marshall, and then she got a decision over Ash the Bash Daly just a few weeks ago at Invicta 3. But
she beat Felice Herrig.
Yes, Felice Herrig. That was back. It was a New Year's show back in 2011, January 14th, 2011. She fought Felice Herrig. And
my birthday.
I think Felice Herrig's got a fight coming up later this year in Bellator. I think it's Bellator 84. It's a show over in Hammond, Indiana that I'll be going to. I can't wait to go to that. It'll be the finals for this tournament.
Will we be granted press passes for this?
I don't know, man. I'm working on it, hopefully. If not,
let's turn that into a paying gig, my friend.
Hell yeah, that'd be awesome. but last but not least tonight, our last guest we're going to have is a UFC fighter. He's 3-0 in the UFC, a gentleman by the name of Ricardo Lamas. Like I said, he's riding a 3-0 win streak in the UFC. We'll talk to him about that and what he's got coming up. And I know he's also got a seminar coming up in Merrillville, Indiana, later in November with Jeff Neal, a former guest. We'll talk to him about that.
Oh, nice. I was going to say, he does have ties to a former guest of ours as well, doesn't he?
Yeah. Ricardo was born in Chicago. And, you know, Jeff Neal, a former guest of ours, works with the Gracie Gym up there, was gracious enough to hook us up with Ricardo Lamas. And like I said, they've got a MMA slash BJJ seminar coming up in November over in Merrillville, Indiana. We'll get the details about that and see if Ricardo has any word on his next fight in the UFC. But, Dave, this weekend, Friday night, let's go to Bellator, man. Bellator saw Eddie Alvarez just head kick this guy right there at the end of the fight. And
yeah.
Great head kick KO to win the fight. Was that not awesome or what?
I mean, I love it when a fight ends right at the end of a round like that and just kind of comes out of nowhere, because Alvarez was seemingly tentative throughout that round. I mean, it was good action. I mean, it was fairly even round, too. And then all of a sudden, whoop, bam, out, later. Let's go.
Lights out. And that's how Eddie Alvarez is, man. I mean, I love watching his fights. And that dude,
yeah, one of my favorite.
He's a tough son of a gun. That's all I can say. But also,
he'll be in the UFC soon.
Yeah, as soon as he finishes, you know, riding the wave there at Bellator. I mean, right now, if I was him, I'd stay where he's at. You know, he's high atop the heap there at Bellator. And so long.
Oh,
as,
certainly.
You know,
I didn't mean like tomorrow or anything, but you know what I mean. You're following.
Oh, yeah.
You're in the right. You think the same thing, I believe. It looks like.
Oh yeah, he'll be there sooner or later. But
that's
also,
a good athlete.
This weekend at the Bellator event. Of course, our guest, Mike Richmond, he was victorious over Jeremy Spoon with that 20-second head kick knockout. So that sets up...
I love head kick. Another head kick knockout, you know what I mean? That was a great night. I mean, I saw one Saturday. They're not a knockout, but I saw a fierce head kick that split this dude's eye open in our main event in Michigan here, the amateur.
Nastiness, man, nastiness.
So well, yeah, the guy's name that got kicked was Nasty Nate. That's funny. Nasty Nate Darnell getting head kicked by... Kelly True. Two good fighters right there. It was sweet.
Hell yeah, you got to love the head kick knockout. Man, those are always great. But,
what happened was he kicked him so hard he split his face open, black in his eye, but he caught the kick and used it as a single leg and then got a few shots in before it just kind of got flipped over and he took care of him.
Nice, nice. Well, that fight, the Bellator event Friday night was their kickoff to Season 7. It was their featherweight tournament. And the winners that night, Rad Martinez and Wagner Fabiano, they both won their matches. They're going to be facing each other at Bellator 80. And like I said, Mike Richmond won his fight. He'll be taking on, I'm not sure how to say this guy's first name.
Shalalaya.
Shalalaya.
Was it Shalimar? Remember that band? What did they do? What did Shalimar do?
I don't remember.
Damn it. Was that it? How did that go?
Damn it. I don't know. But
Shalimar was sweet, too, man. We'll just call him that. Shalimar.
There we go. Bellator 80 will take place November 9th. Oh, hey, I tell you what. For those interested in that Gracie, the seminar down in Springfield, Illinois, it's October 20th. I just got the information on this thing. It's going to be at John Geiston's Martial Arts Academy down in Springfield, Illinois. It's located at 3231 West Isles in Springfield. And again, the meet and greet with Hoist is going to be 10 a.m. to 10:45, and then they have the seminar from 11 to 1. So again, next Saturday, October 20th.
You guys are going to that, dude.
Yes, if you want to meet Hoist Gracie, come on down. You can meet me, too. I'll be down there hanging out. Down at John Geiston's Martial Arts Academy down in Springfield, Illinois. It's at 3231 West Isles in Springfield, Illinois. But, Dave, enough about Bellator, and enough about that.
Well, wait a minute. One of my homeboys got a win on Bellator, bro.
Oh, well, let's not forget about that.
Dom O'Grady, bro.
Well, throw it out there, man. Let's give a shout-out.
Well, Dom O'Grady got a victory in a very tough fight, and he's out of Detroit. Big props to Dom. I hate you so much, O'Grady. I'd like to get him on the show. I've interviewed him before. Did we get him on this show? No, we had him
on that show. It had been your
I've had him on. I've had him on Uncaged. Sorry, I'm high.
Good.
And so, yeah, dude, he's cool as shit. One of the coolest people you'll meet around in this business. You know, one of the people that proves time and time again that it just takes all kinds that get into martial arts and different ways of fighting and incorporating different aspects and angles while still having a great time. He's just awesome. So, you know, Props out to Dom O'Grady for getting a victory.
Well, and how about the other huge fight this weekend that everybody was talking about? UFC 153 down in Brazil saw probably the best fighter we've ever seen in MMA, period. Anderson Silva, he beat Stephen
Bonner.
Oh, really?
I didn't know Fedor was on the card.
No, I'm talking about Anderson Silva.
Okay, currently fighting. Okay.
Yes, currently fighting. And in my opinion, I don't know, Fedor was great, but boy, this Anderson Silva, man. After doing what he did to Bonner with that knee, you know, Bonner saying that knee just pretty much paralyzed him. I just really think that Anderson Silva is probably going to take the crown as being the best in MMA ever.
I'll tell you how we can do that. And it's one of the things that he wants to do. See, now, a couple of weeks ago, I came out saying that since he is fighting 205 here, even though it was a last-minute thing, he had said he wasn't interested in coming back to 185 in a couple of interviews. I predicted that he was going to try to fight Bones Jones. But now it appears that his focus is truly going to be on a super fight with GSP, and that's got to be at 170, maybe 180. And so, or 175 catchweight, I'm not really sure. So if he does that, if he fights, if he defends his crown one more time against somebody and then fights GSP down the road and wins, then that's a dude who's dominated some of the top in three different weight classes, and you can definitely start putting him in the greatest of all time category. And the thing is, right now, if you ask a lot of the people that other folks name as who they think the greatest of all time is, chances are they'll say Fedor Emelianenko.
Yeah, you know, and he's definitely right up there with me. It's just, I don't know, maybe I'm just on the Silva bandwagon right now and I should get off. But
well, the fact is that, no, I agree with you. I think that fighting right now, the best guy out there, the most entertaining, you know, Jones is pretty entertaining, but he might be the best fighter out there. Honestly, I don't think you can necessarily say GSP or Silva's the best fighter when John Jones is out there doing what he's doing.
Yeah, and that's the fight I really want to see. I want to see Silva versus John Jones. That's the one I want to see. And I tell you what,
Beans, we're
talking about this right now, I'm going to call our first guest up, Mr. Mike the Marine Richmond, Bellator fighter. We'll just start it off, see what his opinion is.
Yeah.
And then we'll get on to his fight and see what he's got coming up.
Hello?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, I'm alive and kicking, man. This is Big Perm with UMOR. You're on live with me and my co-host, Dave the Butcher Clifford. Dave, you over there, man?
Yeah, how's it going, Mike? It's a pleasure to have you on the show, sir.
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. Just sitting here at the academy right now.
Awesome,
and,
man.
I can't wait to talk to you guys.
Sweet. Well, Dave and I, we were just talking about the UFC event this past weekend, and we were talking about Anderson Silva. And I said he's probably the best we've ever seen in MMA. And I thought, what the hell, we'll call Mike, bring him in, and just what do you think about that?
About who, Anderson Silva?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, I didn't actually see his fight this Saturday, but I read about it, and I heard about kind of like how he performed. You know, just, I mean, flipping punches like nothing, like seeing everything like Matrix style. And, I mean, he's definitely the best fighter in the world. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You know, he's just mental game, his vision, and his just timing and everything is just on a whole nother level. And then obviously his striking. He's definitely the best fighter on the planet, I think, you know.
Well,
I would agree with that, but he had said of all time, and I still think Fedor Emelianenko holds that until Anderson fights either GSP or John Jones, which at this time, I think John Jones has a slight edge based on his last four or five performances.
Yeah.
But Silva is just like in a whole nother level, and he can go from three different weight classes and dominate. But let's talk about you, man.
I was just going to say, I saw a fight this weekend, another fight I saw this weekend. I saw this featherweight fighter head kick this guy and knock him out in like 20 seconds or something. That was you, Mike.
Yeah, that was a good fight.
That was a fucking awesome fight, dude.
No,
So,
I really... No, go ahead.
No, you can go ahead, brother.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I really enjoyed that fight. It was awesome. It was a great feeling. It was a huge statement fight. And it really felt good to get in and out and definitely get past that first round and move on.
Now, one thing that of course, it might be a little bit different when you're in a tournament like you are that's going to continue and that you know who you're going to fight pretty quickly. Of course, you don't train to be done in 20 seconds. Now, when that happens, is it kind of like hitting a home run, like maybe or something, where it's just kind of a flawless feeling, where it's just a golden moment, or is it a surprise? What's it like in 20 seconds when you just something that you're working on or something that you're ready to do works?
It is. How do I explain it? It is definitely a high that can't be matched. It is definitely kind of like a home run out of the park feeling but it's also like a slight surprise. I mean, you know, I always know and I'm aware of my punching power and my kicking and striking power, you know, my ability to knock people out. But I mean, it's still kind of a slight surprise, but almost like you said, a home run feeling where when it happens, you're like, you know, it just takes over you. It's a great feeling that I don't know if I could get that anywhere else.
Well, I definitely congratulate you on it. We're real proud of you here in the Midwest. Real proud of you here in the Midwest at all, for sure. So moving forward, which is exactly what you got to do, 21 seconds into the fight, you're thinking about Shamalayev, November 9th. You got plenty of time to prepare for him here, and it appears to me like I'd like to know how you're preparing for that fight now. Is it easier?
Well, I mean, he's a hard-hitting, Russian, and he's a kickboxer. And, you know, he's pretty accomplished over there in Russia, you know, from what it sounds like. And, my mindset's to go in there and show him what my stand is all about, you know. And I'm going to show him what I have. He's going to show me what he has, and it's going to make for a very entertaining fight. He didn't take much damage in his fight, if any. I didn't take any in mine. I mean, the reality is we could fight this week, you know, if we really wanted to. So, and it would still be entertaining. So right now I'm just keep training how I'm training, you know, trying to maintain a good, you know, still trying to maintain that good pace. Make sure I don't peak or drop down from where I was before. And just game plan for a nice strategic stand-up battle. I have the takedown abilities to take him down. But, you know, I'm the type of guy where I'm going to want to test his chin, test his stand-up, and it's going to be fun to watch. So maybe he'll shoot on me first.
Well, we're certainly looking forward to it in a big way. And I guess since you're at the Academy now, why don't you tell us a bit about some of the people that are helping you get ready for this? Give some shout-outs, anybody you want to thank and, put out there for making you
yeah.
and helping you work so hard.
Yeah, obviously, you know, I give my hats off. You know, I wouldn't be the fighter I am and evolve to where I am without, you know, Greg Nelson and training here at the Academy. So I'd like to thank, you know, obviously training under Greg and then also my training partners. You know, my main training partners is obviously Jacob Wolfman, Nick Lentz, Pat Berry is with us now. So he's a great guy. He really teaches me. He's really helped me a lot in my kicking game, too, you know, up in that and with my striking. And then, you know, we got a bunch of upcoming prospects that you'll be hearing about. From the Academy, you know, within the year. They'll be in my place, you know, like Brandon Gertz, Jordan Parsons, Zach Drusula, Rich Taylor, Nick Compton, Nick Kirk. I mean, our room is just full of talent. Like, there's no rest rounds. I mean, it's just the dudes that you don't know their names yet. I mean, you're going to know who they are. They're tough guys, and they're very talented.
It's pretty sweet hearing you say some of those names because I'm actually from Michigan and I'm pretty good friends with Sean Shirk and I got to interview Volkman twice last week. So it's really, we're always behind you guys. You know, this is a Big Ten country and this is how we roll. We go out and we knock people out and we choke them out here in the Midwest. And another thing that I see your nickname is Mike the Marine. I want to say thank you for serving and then ask you about that if you'd like to touch on that for a moment.
Yeah. You know, I was in the Marine Corps I was active duty Marine Corps infantryman from 2004 to 2008, you know, three tours overseas, three separate seven-month deployments. You know, I was over in Iraq in 2005, 2006, and 2007. And, you know, I really enjoyed my service. I really enjoyed my time in the Marine Corps. Love all, you know, I still keep in touch with a lot of the Marines that I made friends with over there. And, you know, I keep with that, you know, I keep that close to me forever. So it's kind of a sweet thing. I'm proud to be a United States Marine.
Well, Mike, and, you know, aside from being a Marine and an MMA fighter, you also have a boxing career of sorts. I know back in June you had a boxing match. Is the boxing career something that you're going to keep going as well as the mixed martial arts career, or do you think, you know, MMA is where you're going to focus all your energies?
I mean, MMA, I take MMA very seriously, like my career. I love to box as well. It's just tough, you know, being under contract. You know, I'm not going to be able to, you know, I can't, you know, especially with the tournament format, it's tough to get boxing bouts in between if I'm getting ready for an MMA bout. But I definitely feel like, you know, I could have been successful in boxing as well. But, yeah, I mean, if there's time available, if there's a lull between MMA fights and Bellator lets me take another boxing match, then yeah, I'll definitely look forward to doing that again.
Hell yeah, man. And, you know, I got to give a shout-out to Jeff Neal. Wait a minute. Nope, need to back up. That's for later on. My bad. I'm jumping ahead of myself.
Wake up.
Sorry, Mike. We'll talk about Jeff
Neal
later.
Wake up, dude.
I'm jumping ahead of myself. Sorry, Mike. But anyway.
Play the fuck up. Play
the fuck
up.
It happens every now and again. So you said Jacob Volkman's one of your training partners. We had him on the show recently. Dr. Christmas, you know, can you tell us just a little bit more about training with Dr. Christmas and, you know, some of the things that you've learned from him and what he's done for you?
What I learned from Dr. Christmas is that he is just like a monster. Like when he grabs you, like he's so unsuspecting. Obviously you see him, you're like, oh man, he doesn't look like he's that strong. And then he gets a hold of you and he kind of like moves you where he wants to move you. And with that just natural form, just ridiculous strength that he has on top of his great wrestling technique, just makes him so hard and frustrating to deal with. I mean, there's days when he's on where, I mean, he'll literally just roll through everybody in the gym, you know, like it's nothing. I mean, it's just really good to learn wrestling from him and learn his technique. And such a great guy, you know. He's always, he's always there for, you know, to help anybody in the gym. And he's a super cool dude when you get to know him on a personal level. And it's definitely an honor to train with him and to learn, you know, his skill sets. I mean,
we had a blast talking with him. He was fun to interview. That's for sure. I just got another text message from my producer. There's another cat up there at the academy, a guy by the name of Zach Micklewright. You know Zach?
Zach Micklewright.
Yeah, Zach Micklewright. He's also a Marine. You familiar with him?
It doesn't sound familiar. Did he just start? I mean, I think, you know what? I know there's another Marine guy that just recently started training here, and if I saw his face, I'm terrible with names. I don't know if he's fairly new, but I think I know. I think I have an idea who he's talking about.
Okay.
I'm not too sure.
Cool enough.
I do the same thing. Man, I'm an announcer, and I'm terrible with names. It takes me 3 or 4 fights to get to know people, man. It's weird. But
exactly.
You know, inside the steel, I can do it right away. You know, I'm ready to go. But, like, I'll see somebody, and they're like, hey, man. And I'm like, fuck, dude, I don't remember this guy's name. I feel like a dick.
Yeah, I'm the fucking worst at that, too. It's like, oh, hey, what's up, bro?
That's why I'm glad people start getting tattoos of their names on their back. I can kind of walk around for a minute and go, oh, yeah, okay, what's up?
Yeah.
Well, Mike, there's always one question I like to ask the fighters.
Yeah.
Why do you fight, man?
I fight because I love doing it, man. I love fighting. Like, it's just fun. It's definitely a release for me. And the fact that now I'm able to fight and kind of do it for a living now, which makes it, like, 10 times better because, I mean, I think, like, fighting in the military is kind of like my thing. I really don't know if I could do, like, corporate America type stuff. So, but as far as, like, I just enjoy the fight. I enjoy the competition. I enjoy, like, just getting in there and mixing it up with another, you know, with another guy just testing your mettle against somebody. I think that's just just really cool. I don't know why. I really don't know how to. It's kind of hard to explain, but it's just fun
gotcha.
To get in there and just go at it.
Well, being next to it all the time, it's become something that I've in. You know, it's just a part of my life now. It's what I do every
yeah.
weekend. It's one of the reasons why I'm in the same boat. I didn't get to watch Silva versus Bonner, but I read all about it, saw the pictures, and realized what happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's really cool to hear that. And one of the questions that I kind of had off of your answer there was that you had mentioned the military. Now, did you probably wrestled in high school, being from in the Midwest? But did you get exposed to MMA in the military? Because a lot of guys come out of the military fighting in these amateur leagues that I work at.
I did get a little bit exposed to mixed martial arts when I was in the military. I also felt like, you know, I kind of grew up loving boxing and stuff like that as well, so I was exposed to that. And it was just kind of one of those things where you kind of know inside that if, you know, you got to be, like, brutally honest with yourself and know, like, if you have the talent to build off of that. And I really, truly believed I had the talent to get out and train and build off of what I had, the foundation that I had. And
well, you're right. You're right.
Yeah. So.
You know, and you're outstanding job in there. I mean, you knock people out in the first round. You got some notable wins. You're building a career. You know, we're all really proud of you here. We're definitely proud to have you on the show, and thank you for representing the Midwest so well. All you guys up there, you know, it's really becoming one of our favorite interviews all the time is people from your gym, dude. It's just great. You know, it's just
yeah.
when you have attitude yeah. like that, it really shines through in your performance.
Yeah, and, and we got another wave. Like, I'm just another, like, I'm a start of another wave of prospects out of the academy that will make it to big stage, you know. Like I said, we got a bunch of guys you'll be hearing from that will be up there within the next year, you know. I mean, there's, you know, the academy had its waves of, you know, of fighters, and just kind of, and now they're hitting another one right now. So Greg's got another bunch of talented guys underneath them, which is awesome.
Well, we also, another former guest of ours, Caitlin Young, trains up there. How many women are
yep.
training there now? Is it becoming more popular?
We got two women fighters, obviously Caitlin Young, and then we got Rose Namajunas, and she's a beast. She's like a 118 or 115 pounder, but she's super, super, super talented, like awesome stand up, awesome like ground game for her size, and like you'll definitely be hearing more about her. She's really good.
Well, with only two of them being there, they must be sparring with you guys a lot. So
yeah.
that
yeah, exactly.
What's that like for you? Is it pretty easy? Do they have to encourage you to go a little harder, or is it pretty easy? Pretty easy.
Oh yeah, I mean, we don't take it easy on them. Like we spar with them like they're anybody else, you know. So, and that's how they want it, and that's how they want to train, you know, and they want to train hard and tough, and that's freaking awesome. And
that's how they turn out to be so good.
Yeah. So
that's a great way of doing stuff. That's awesome, man. Pat Barry's up there too. I mean, geez, you guys got a wealth of knowledge and expertise up there.
Yeah. A bunch of different knowledge and a bunch of different talent levels to pick people's brains about, you know, which is awesome.
Sweet. Well, when you get people as dedicated as you are, as dedicated as all your colleagues, then, like I said, it turns into wins. 20 seconds and you advance to the tournament. Here you go. You're going to get another win.
Exactly.
Well, Mike, you know, without looking too far ahead and without looking past your next opponent and then the tournament final, you know, at Bellator 84, I mean, you know, once the tournament's over, you know, win or lose, you know, where are you headed next? What are your aspirations there at Bellator? I mean, obviously you're shooting for the bell, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's my aspiration right now is to win, keep winning, get the title shot, win the belt, and just keep winning and put myself in, you know, a good position to make a lot of money and doing this for a living. You know, that I got, I got two kids to feed and take care of, and, you know, I got bills to pay, and I want to keep doing this as a career. I love fighting, and, you know, I want to take advantage of my prime fighting age, and, you know, I just want to keep winning.
Well, that's something we were talking about a little bit ago at the beginning of our show. What we're going to talk about later tonight was fighter pay. You know, and a lot of these professional fighters have found it hard with the economy the way it is, you know, to make money outside of the cage, you know, sponsorship money, seminar opportunities, things like that are kind of drying up. Are you finding that's kind of the case out there?
Well, as far as like seminars and stuff, I mean, I don't do that. I don't feel like I have enough credentials to run a seminar. Also, I'm the type of guy where like I don't know how to teach what I can do. Like, I feel like I just do it everything because that's what my body and instinct tells me to do, you know?
Right.
And
well, you're still a student, you know, like you
can put
it that way.
Exactly. I'm still a student of the game. Like, I still got so much stuff, more just stuff to learn. But as far as, like, the sponsorship aspect of things, it's like, it's tough to get sponsorship money nowadays, you know. There's a couple sponsors out there that are still giving out money here and there. But most of it is, like, product sponsorship. You know, you just kind of get the product of whoever sponsors you. And, I mean, that's okay, too. So that's why this business, you know, it's the prize fighting business. It's a winning business. You want to make a living out of this. You got to win. So that's the reality of it.
Yeah, you don't hook up a training mask?
If Sean and them and whoever, you know, does the sponsorship for training mask, then, yeah, definitely if that's an opportunity down the road, then for sure.
Yeah, I think they're stuck in Zufa. I forgot about that. That's my boy.
Yeah, I think that's one of the cases I know. One of the major.
Do you use the training mask up there?
No, I haven't. I haven't used it yet. No.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
So I wonder. That might be something you end up getting into, I imagine.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, and you.
What's that?
I was going to say with you being a Bellator fighter and this, you know, Friday was your second fight with the organization. Just tell us a little bit, you know, what it's been like working with Bjorn Rebney and those guys over there at Bellator.
Oh man, they treat you so nice over there. Everyone's so professional. Everyone's so nice. You know, they treat you like your family when you're a part of Bellator. And Bjorn, I mean, he's like the most down to earth guy. Like, he talks to you just like, I mean, he's a CEO. He's a bike boss in charge, and he talks to you like you're just, you know, a normal human being, just, you know, shooting the shit about MMA or whatever, about life or whatever, and
Sweet.
He's just a great guy.
That's cool, man. That's great to work for people like that. A lot of the guys I work for still are like that, you know what I mean? It's pretty fun to catch up with that, you know. I'm glad to hear that at the next level it's like that, too.
Yep.
Really am. So you've probably been blessed. You ever had to fight at any janky spots?
I mean, nothing too janky and crazy, you know. I mean, mostly just in the local scene here in Minnesota. I mean, it's definitely been a rise, you know, since I made $200 my first pro fight to, you know what I'm making now. But yeah, it's definitely different. It's great.
Well, hey guys, that's our 2 minute bell. We got about 2 minutes left here with Mike tonight. And then we're going to have to get on down the road. But, Mike, one question that we always like to ask the fighters when we got them on, if there was tag team MMA, who would you partner up with and who would you guys want to take on?
Oh, man. Who would I want to partner up with?
And who would you guys take on?
Would definitely be Christmas, Jacob Volkman. Like,
yeah.
Him on the team. Just snatch up everybody and just start throwing them around, and he'll just hold them, and I'll just knock people out while he's holding them. who I'd want to take on, I really don't know. That's a good question. I don't know who I'd want to take. Anybody and everybody if you got Volkman on your side.
Hell yeah.
Fucking right. Awesome. Well, listen, boy, as we're running out of time here, Mike just wanted to know if there were any sponsors, any thanks, any shout outs you wanted to throw out there.
Yeah, I'll try to run off of the sponsors off my head real quick before we run out of time. You know, I'd like to thank, obviously, my manager, Jeremy Bjornberg, Andrew Studer. I'd like to thank Greg Nelson and the Academy, all my training partners. And then I'd like to thank, my sponsors, Future Legend, Intimidation, Gamma Labs, Faction Guards, War Tape, Von Zipper, Headblade, anybody else, the Copper, Copper River, Push Pedal Play. I mean, if I missed a sponsor, sorry, running through them.
Oh, sweet. Your boys with Luke from Intimidation?
Yes, yeah, he's a great guy.
He's my friend from Ohio. Good dude.
Yeah, great guy. You know, definitely, you know, to team up and sponsor me, even though, you know, I was sponsored by Future Legend, to be sponsored by both of them is pretty awesome.
It is.
Well, listen, Mike, the Marine Richmond, I want to say thank you so much, dude, for taking the time to join us tonight. And good luck November 9th against Shamalayev, as you can see in the tournament.
And
I'm hoping you win that fight, brother, because I'm going to be at the final at Bellator 84 in Hammond, Indiana, and I hope to see you there inside the cage kicking ass and winning that tournament, dude.
Damn right. I appreciate
the Minnesota Wrecking Crew.
It's super fun, man.
You're quite welcome, man. You take care, Mike, and have yourself a great night, brother.
You guys too.
All right, later.
Later. Sweet.
All right.
Another super cool dude from the Academy, bro.
Absolutely, man. Those guys up in there in Minnesota, man, they definitely got some beasts there at the gym. And then, you know, just like had a ball with Dr. Christmas, and Mike's just another guy that's real easy to talk to, fun to talk to. And guy is going places, man, with his hands, with his feet. He's just knocking them out. And in Bellator, I've yet to see him go to the ground, but I'm sure he's got a good ground game too.
Oh, I'm sure of it. You know, it was a great interview. Absolutely. I really appreciate that. All them cats from Minnesota usually bring it, and they got good attitudes.
Without a doubt, man. And again, thank you to Mike the Marine Richmond for taking the time to sit and speak with us tonight. But Dave, as we move on.
What's that? Go ahead.
Go ahead, man.
Well, I was going to say, as we were sitting here, I didn't get to introduce my spiritual advisor from the Church of the Burning Bush. Reverend Buddy Seedless showed up and dropped me off some OG Kush, which I'm smoking on now.
Well, thank you, Reverend Buddy, for making the night all that much better.
It's good. It's good, too. Damn.
Well, listen, Dave, while we wait for our next guest, we'll be talking to Barb Honchak, Invicta Fighter, here in just a few minutes. The World Series of Fighting, they hold their first event, and they're going to have a four-fight main card and then seven prelims. And it's going to air on the NBC Sports Network, which is formerly Versus. But they've announced their heavyweight headliner features Andre Arlovsky taking on Devin Cole. And then they got light heavyweights Anthony Rumble Johnson taking on DJ Linderman. That's the co-headliner.
Very nice, huh?
Yes. Going down and looking at the rest of the card, Marlon Moraes takes on Miguel Torres. And Gregor Gracie takes on Tyson Steele. But then looking at the prelim card, what I'm excited about is Tyrone Spong is going to be fighting Travis Bartlett.
Wow, and, Tyrone Spong fought in Bellator and NAAFS, didn't he?
Tyrone Spong, I don't know that he's fought in Bellator. I don't know if he did or not, but I know Tyrone comes from the Glory Gym over there, and he's a K-1 and kickboxing monster, and he's making his foray into MMA.
I was thinking of as a different guy, but yeah, this dude, I know who you're talking about now.
That I'm so excited about that fight, but also on this card, I mean, the World Series of Fighting, they've got Josh Berkman taking on Gerald Harris, JV Cavalcante takes on TJ O'Brien.
That'll be a good fight.
Yeah, they've got some great fights lined up, and I'm really excited about the World Series of Fighting. Their first event's going to take place November 3rd at Planet Hollywood in Las Vegas.
I just like to see more spots like that available for pro fighters. I got a lot of friends that are looking for fights all the time, and it's good to see this out there and to get the word out. And more fights means more announcers.
Yep, thank you, Ray Sefo.
Absolutely.
Well, without any further delay, we're going to turn down the journey to Arnhem Land, and we're going to dial up our next guest. We're going to be talking with Invicta fighter Barb Honchak. She's coming off a victory over Ash the Bash Daly at Invicta 3. But one thing I wanted to clear up real quick before we dial up Barb, when we were talking with Mike Richmond a minute ago, I'd asked about Zach Mickelright. Zach Mickelwright's not at the academy right now. Zach Mickelwright's an MMA fighter that's currently serving over in Afghanistan. And Zach often listens to the show, and I misunderstood my text message, so I wanted to give a big shout-out to Zach Mickelwright.
Oh, sweet. Thank you.
Yes, and thank you for serving, Zach. If you're listening or when you listen to this show, thanks, brother. And I'll never forget, my buddy, we took him up to the Amsterdam Combat Club up in Davenport, Iowa, and it was his first cage fight ever. And he got in the cage with Zach Mickelwright. We had no clue who Zach was. Didn't know he was a Marine Corps boxer. Yeah, and Zach, unfortunately, Zach busted my buddy's nose all to hell and busted his eye all to hell. So, you know, it was a great experience. but, Zach, thank you for serving, brother. I just wanted to straighten that out in case you were listening tonight, man. But without further ado, I'm going to punch in these numbers. Whoops, that was the wrong number. I need a 9, not a 3. And we're going to get Barb on the phone and talk with her about her next fight. And I hear it might be a title shot at 125, so I'm kind of excited to hear what Barb's got to say about that and see what it's like working with Junior Hernandez. And I believe she trains with the guys at Core Fitness there in the Quad Cities, if I'm not mistaken. And if I am, she'll correct me.
Hello?
Hi, good evening, Barb.
Hi, yeah.
Hey, this is Big Perm with UMOR. How the heck are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Well, I'm alive and kicking. You're on live with me and my co-host, Dave the Butcher Clifford. Dave, you hanging in there, man?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you.
Well, Barb, just to get things kicked off, I was looking at the MFS Facebook page earlier today and saw something about a possible title shot for you coming up with Invicta. Any more word or news on that?
No, I don't know the details about it yet, but I did talk to Janet and Shannon after the last Invicta, and there will be, there will be a title fight between myself and Vanessa Porto. We don't know exactly which show. I think it'll be their fifth show where that'll actually take place.
Gotcha. Invicta 5. Well, and you're looking at your record, I mean, you're undefeated with Invicta. First you beat Bethany Marshall and then just recently Ash the Bash Daly. And then just looking at your record overall, what is it, 7-2 you are now?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Cool. I was hoping that these guys had it right. As far as the title shot goes, fighting Vanessa Porto, what do you think that fight's going to be like, taking her on? Because I know she's one tough cookie as well. She looked tough back on October 6th.
Yeah, that was her first fight, coming down 135 to 125. So I expect that she's going to be very, very strong. She's got a great jiu-jitsu game and obviously some powerful stand-up. So I think we're going to have a really, really good fight. She's going to be tough. It'll be a great, great challenge. I feel very good about that fight, though. I feel like I've got a great team, and when it happens, we'll be completely ready for her.
Well, and speaking of team, I was going to mention your team. Where do you train at? Do you train at Core Fitness?
Yeah, I'm at Militich Fighting Systems in Core Fitness in Bettendorf, Iowa.
And you work with Junior Hernandez, right?
I do. He's my head coach.
Awesome. What's it like working with Junior? We've had him on the show before. I've met him a few times. Really cool cat. What's it like, working and training with that guy?
He's amazing. He's extremely intelligent about the game. He knows every aspect, he's just awesome. I've learned a ton working with Junior, and every day that we've got class with him, I learned something new. He's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I actually did a show in Iowa, earlier this year, and he was the referee for most of the evening. And you really learn a lot from someone and see how knowledgeable they are by the way that they referee fights. And these were pro fights, so I can really see where you're coming from there, and that's kind of what I got from him too. That's when I met him, and we've had him on the show before. That's really cool to see and hear about that. And I guess another question that I had, we like to ask fighters this when they fight for different organizations, is What's it like fighting for Shannon and Janet? We've had Shannon on the show as well, and she seems really nice and like she really cares about your guys' careers. She's really really wanting to do this correctly. And what are they like fighting for as an organization?
It feels just like that. It feels like they care. Everything about this show is extremely professional. I've never been part of in any way a show like this. They take care of us. They have, I mean, everything is done to the max. You know, like they have everything down to getting our hair braided, taken care of for us. So, you know, the moment that we sign the contract till we, you know, make it home from the fight, it's just extremely professional. They really do put across that they want it to be our show, and they want us to go out and show, you know, what skills we have. And I think one thing that sets them apart is that they're not in it just to make a quick buck. You know, they're not in it to be the best promoter they can be. I really do feel like they are trying to put something together for the ladies, and the fighters feel that. So, you know, when we're there for those few days, everybody, it's very easy to give them what they're asking for because they're giving us so much. So, you know, every bit about it, from the fighters to Janet and Shannon to everybody they bring in, it's just such a professional show. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, you can really tell by the production, too. They put on, they really make it. I mean, it's done as well as any show out there.
Yeah, I agree. If not better.
Yeah,
they do a very, very good job. Yep.
Well, Barb, with you saying that, you know, they're not just in it to make a quick buck, but they're in it for the long haul. And with women's MMA, you know, being so new, and the talent pool, you know, not near as deep as, you know, men's MMA because it's been around 20 years. Do you see them making the right moves, and are they, you know, to bring in more ladies and deepen the talent pool? Do you think that's what it's going to take to make Invicta stick around and ladies MMA grow?
Yeah, I think that, you know, the talent pool is deeper than I think people realize. First of all, I know that that's like something Dana has thrown out there many times, is the talent pool is not deep enough. But there's a lot of women out there that just aren't known because they really haven't had a shot on a show to show that we're out there. And they are looking to have title fights for every weight class from, I believe, 105 all the way up to 145. And so, you know, they're going to have girls in every single weight class. And I think that they've already shown, you know, putting on three very solid shows, each one seems to be better than
the one
before, that there are a ton of girls out there that, you know, that do have talent and heart and are ready to show it. So, you know, the UFC, the guys fighting in the UFC, when the UFC started, the talent pool wasn't nearly as deep as it is now.
Right.
But I think that the depth that the women have is at least as deep as it was for the men when that started. So
yeah, for sure.
Know.
One of the things about it is it's, even though the best or the most well-known female fighter is pretty one-dimensional, that one-dimensional is pretty fierce. And if you remember, of course, like all of us do, Hoyce Gracie did the same shit for a while until everybody figured it out. So, and the talent pools, I agree with you because I work on, I'm an announcer primarily for amateur and like pro-am shows here in the Midwest and mostly Michigan. And we have women's MMA on every card that I work. I mean, there's at least one, sometimes as many as four. And usually, and one of the things about this is that, you know, in a lot of other sports, let's say basketball, you couldn't run a girls' basketball game and a men's basketball game next to each other. You don't get, it's just not,
right.
It's not as entertaining. It doesn't provide the same entertainment value. But you can put a women's fight in between two men's fights at an amateur or a pro event, and you will see just as good, if not better performance, almost every single time.
By the ladies. Yep.
You know, almost every single
I
time.
Agree.
Equal or better, if not fight of the night every time. And we've got some great amateur female fighters here in Michigan starting to get more experience. And now there's more people doing it. And now just you know, I have a little speech I give before every women's fight I talk about. I plug Invicta. I tell people the fights are free. Go to their website. Go find it. It's where you're going to see these girls go. you know, if they're serious and they stick with it. And a lot of them are really starting to train hard. And just like our previous guest said, you know, Caitlin Young trains at the academy. There's only two pro women fighters there. So they're sparring with freaking pro UFC guys all the time.
Yep.
And you,
yep.
Now you're training with one of the better fighters in the Quad Cities, if not, you know, pretty much one of the, you'd almost be calling the you know, the beacon of that area as far as fight talent goes in Junior Hernandez.
Yep, he is awesome, and he definitely kicks my ass, for sure.
Well, and that's what I wanted to ask you, Barb. I mean, a lot of the women today, there aren't a lot of other women fighters at the gym to train with. What's it like fighting with the guys, man? I mean, it's got to suck taking a left hook from those guys.
Well, I don't know really any different. You know, it's what I've, even before I was here when I was in St. Louis at Burger MMA, I was the only girl there for the most part too. So, you know, my whole career, it's pretty much been me and the boys. So I don't really know, you know, much different,
right.
You know, between that and the guys. I do have some women that I train with once in a while, and it is pretty nice to have when I can have it. But, you know, for the most part, like, the guys that have a lot of skill know how to punch, and they also know how to punch open-handed. You know what I mean? Like, they know
right.
how hard to hit. When I go with guys about my size, I think that we just go. You know, I don't think anybody's holding back too much. When I go with the bigger guys, you know, they know a little bit, you know, how to spar me without knocking me out cold.
Without knocking your head off, right?
So you have to,
exactly.
you don't have to remind them to go a little harder then, huh?
When I was new to the, there's a feeling out period, I think. Some of the guys, yeah, for sure, some of the guys hold back, especially until they get used to me, they'll hold back. But, like, you know, Junior, for instance, he doesn't hold back that much. He does, because he definitely could kill me. But, you know, he definitely gives me a whooping, too, you know. So it just depends on the guy. It depends on the size of the guy. But it's, like I said, I don't really know any different. I've always sparred with the guys. When I get to go with girls, I love it. It's a treat. But usually
sure.
The girls I go with are in the same situation, so when we get together, we go pretty hard on each other.
So you have a pretty good amount of time to prepare for this fight now. Are you going to make the most of that? Are you training just pretty much all the way, all the time?
I will. I took a week after the last fight to kind of get fat and rest and, you know, let all those little nagging injuries from the course of the camp kind of come in. I'm back in the gym this week, though. I'm starting to train again. So, yeah, I will. I don't want to peak too early, so there's certain things that I'll ease into a little bit. But, yeah, for the most part, I'm back in the gym and starting to train again.
Well, a lot of people, well, especially with the women, you want to know, you know, why. Why do you fight?
I don't know, because it's fun. I really don't know. I get asked this question a lot, and I never feel like I have a good answer for it. I never have been in a real fight. Like, I've never been in a street fight or a bar fight or a high school backyard, schoolyard kind of fight. I wasn't like that growing up. And I started through jiu-jitsu with Steve Berger. And when I was starting, there weren't very many girls in the St. Louis area at all. There were a few here and there. But there was one girl, she was a boxer, and there was a local promotion that about 6 months into me training with Steve, contacted Steve and was like, hey, I got a fight. You think that your girl would want to do this? And Steve gave him the, oh, I don't know. Like, not thinking that I would at all. But, you know, I'd been in there for 6 months. I'd, you know, been watching the guys fight and whatnot, and I was just curious if I could do it. So I said, yeah, and I went in, and the boxer beat my ass for the first round, and the second round she took me down, and I subbed her with a rear naked. So, I kind of got a lucky win, but I got the win, and I was so excited
that you could do it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I proved that I could take the beating and still come up on top, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. That's a big part of it.
You got to be able to cut the pounding.
So, I just kind of snowballed from there. It was, I tell people that I didn't find the sport. The sport found me, because that's kind of how I feel about it. Like, I never intended to be where I am now, but I love that I am.
Right. That's how it is with me, just as an announcer. I was a butcher. I didn't know I was going to do this, and now it's my life. Like, everything
I do. It pulls you in. It does. It just pulls you right in.
You know, it's just my favorite. Like, it's all I ever... I don't even watch other sports hardly at all, except, like, my Tigers. But...
Yep.
Are you a Cardinals fan coming from St. Louis?
That's what I was just about to say. I said, yeah, I don't really watch much either, because I do start paying attention to the Cardinals around this part of the season.
You can stop when it's time to play the Tigers, because it's all over this year. Go ahead, bro. Sorry, Jeremy.
Oh, no, it's all good, man. As far as your fight career goes, you know, and in the time that you've been doing it, I mean, people learn all kinds of things besides the fighting skills. What has this sport, you know, given to you and taught you, you know, outside of the cage? You know, what's MMA done for Barb Honchak, you know, just as a person? Because I hear a lot that not only do you learn the fight skills, but there's a lot of other things that the training and the camaraderie, you know, what did you get out of the sport besides the skill of fighting?
Yeah. I mean, every gym I've been to, I pretty much meet my family outside of my family. You know, that's definitely a big one. Is I usually get pretty close to the guys at the gym and the girls at the gym. But on top of that, I've met a lot of awesome ladies through the sport. So every time I've gone to Invicta, I feel a little bit like it's a reunion anymore. Because there's a ton of women there that we really only see each other in the fights. But, you know, usually it's like one or two other girls that you see that you might know, or like you walk into the Invicta area and it's just like you know every single one of those girls just about. And, you know, regardless if you're fighting them or not, you feel kind of like a – definitely there's a camaraderie, but, like, some of those girls have become really good friends of mine. So I don't know. There's definitely friendships, camaraderie, and I think even with the women, there's a real purpose to our fighting anymore. You know, it just started out as something kind of fun and a sport to do and a hobby, and, you know, we're all really trying to get – this going, especially with Invicta. I think there's like this little bit of hope that maybe this one will actually work for us. So, you know, right now I feel
like... I also think the fact that Shannon has the respect of all the other promotions out there.
Yep, and the attention. Absolutely. And so, you know, it gives you a little bit of a purpose beyond just fighting to have like that goal to like, come on, we got to get this one, you know, this one's got to work. So there's that. And, you know, there's something just about the training and pushing yourself to a level that you've never been pushed to, surpassing your own doubt about what you can do and where you can go with it. And there's just a real confidence that you can build through fighting, but that it makes its way into your everyday life, too. And I really don't know how to explain it, but there is definitely a confidence that comes with the sport.
And that's kind of what I was looking for was, you know, I've talked with a lot of fighters, and, you know, for a lot of guys, you know, they came from the streets and what have you, but and not only have they learned the skill of fighting, but, you know, getting inside the gym and just the different life lessons that people learn through, you know, training. And that's what I was hoping that you'd get out there and that people would get from that question. Cool. Thank you.
Yeah, and it's not confidence like a tough guy kind of confidence. It's just the ability to know that you can go and do something that, you know, like even when people are telling you quit, stop, don't do that, that you can do it and you can make it and that you can, you know, do something with it. You know, it's I don't know. It definitely gives you a different kind of confidence than I've had with anything else in my life.
Well, and that's
what I was looking for.
Well, when you fought in the last two Invicta cards, and I've watched some of the fights on different, you know, on that web, on the Invicta website, and see him on YouTube and get links to the page there. And what are the crowds like? I mean, is it increased each time? What was it? What are the attendance like?
You know, it has always seemed pretty full from what I remember. I mean, the crowd was definitely pretty. I actually got to go out in the crowd this time and watch, you know, the last fight. So, I mean, it was pretty packed. And I think the even more than just the crowd inside the building, but the online attendance every single time has. I think the first and second show, the attendance online doubled, and I don't have any idea what it was in this last one, but I imagine that it's gone up quite a bit for the third one too. So yeah,
well, it should. You got a lot of people out there pulling for you. I mean, there's their warning. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Sorry to interrupt, guys. That's our 2 minute warning bell. We got 2 minutes left. Go ahead, Dave.
Oh, okay.
Okay, it's cool to see that, and I've noticed. And one of the things that I push it in all the amateur shows that I go to. I put it on my website all the time, and my Facebook page, I guess. And we really try to get it out there because you guys are putting out a product that's just as good. You know, it's awesome.
Yep,
if not better,
you guys
are the first wave, and you're really representing well. And a lot of our amateur females here in Michigan are proud of you guys and watch it. So thank you.
Yep. Great. I'm super excited that they are watching. You know, you do feel a little bit like you want to set an example for the next generation, you know, like if this really is the beginning of the big beginning for us, that's definitely something that you want to portray to the newer fighters is the sportsmanship that goes with it and how to handle yourself and things like that in a professional manner. I think that's important.
Well, Barbara, that kind of leads right into my last question. We have a lot of amateurs that listen to the show. You know, do you have any words for the amateur ladies that are listening? You know, they're looking to, make their foray into pro MMA.
Oh, let me think about that for just a second. I know we're almost out of time. You know, I think the biggest thing is just handle yourself well, handle yourself with confidence. You don't need to run your mouth a ton to get noticed. You know, let yourself get noticed in the cage. It's very important to have a coach and a team that believes in you and works really well with you. You know, I think that's definitely key to how I got my start, starting with Steve Berger. You know, he really had so much faith in my abilities starting out that I think that attributed a ton to the successes that I've had. So your coach and your team is definitely a key thing, but when you're representing yourself, you know, sponsors don't want people who are going to be, and I don't want to say, because I know that there are a few girls that have gotten a lot of attention from running their mouth, but they've done it in an entertaining, you know, somewhat classy way for the most part. But
there's always there's always that one person that can get away with shit, you know?
Right, exactly. But I do think it's important, you know, that people that realize it's a sport, you know, realize that it is a fight, but it is a sport. So, you know, when I go out and fight a girl, it's not about disrespect. It's not about anything like that. It's simply for the sport. And I think that maintaining that kind of a mind frame and, you know, before and after the fight, remembering that that is another athlete, that's not, you know, somebody that you have a grudge against, that's really important. You know, of course, there are always those.
A lot of our girls are like that here in Michigan. I mean, even when they beat the crap out of each other and do a good job of it, they hug each other after the fight, and they're always friends Facebook, talking. A lot of camaraderie. But I guess last second, if you want some plugs or anybody you want to thank, go ahead.
Of course, Miltich Fighting Systems and Core Fitness and Bettendorf, my management at Addison's Sports Management, Fear the Fighter, Plenty Watches, Tussle, Fight Soap, Bra Base, 780, One Coconut Water, Combative Gear, Big Five, Clinch Mouth Guards, Split Lip, and No Pain, Just Glory. I think I remembered everybody this time if I did.
That was a bunch. Awesome.
Damn, we rocked that. That's awesome.
Thank you so much for taking the time tonight to talk with us. I've had a ball, and it's been very educational, and thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys. Thanks a lot.
All right, have a great night.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All righty, Mr. Clifford. That was Miss Barb Honchak, Invicta fighter, looking for a title shot either at Invicta 4 or Invicta 5. We hope to see her take out Vanessa Porto and walk away with the gold. That'll be awesome.
Yeah, what an outstanding woman right there. That was a classy interview, and she really does get it. You know, that was cool to hear. And just shedding some light on how things work in this business. You know, that's what we're all about. And once again, I want to thank Chris Maltzberger for putting these out here and helping us out with getting guests and stuff. And, of course, our first sponsor, Tri-County Cab. Give them that number.
It's 309-497-1111. Put it in your phone now for when you need it later. Peoria, well, shoot, Central Illinois' best cab company, Tri-County Cab Company. Thanks again to Fred and Mike over there. They, without them, well, this show wouldn't happen each and every week. So thanks again, guys. But, Dave, we've pretty much reached the halfway point of the show here. And,
I'm time to go to the bathroom. I'll be right back.
All right, brother, man. In the meantime, I'm going to leave you with a few words from Joe Rogan.
Same thing. You know, I didn't start smoking pot until about 5 years ago. I thought pot made you stupid. Now, I bought into it just as much as anybody did. I realized when I was like 30 years old that I was tricked. I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me. People say, well, you can abuse marijuana. Well, shit, you can abuse cheeseburgers, too. You know, you don't go around closing Burger King because you can abuse something. I can take a fucking fork and jam it in my eyeballs. That mean forks should be illegal? You know, I could jump off a bridge. Should we outlaw bridges? Let's nerf the world. Spokesmen for giant special interest groups, whether those special interest groups be law enforcement or whether they're private prisons or whether they're pharmaceutical companies or whether they're oil companies. We have spokesmen for gigantic corporations that are trying to calm us and get us to press the right button in the voting booth. It's real simple. You put your loafers on, you put your black socks on, you get in your car, you have your briefcase, you say hi to your neighbors, he mows his lawn just like you do, and things keep moving along in the same direction they always have been. That's why marijuana laws exist. If people do drugs and they commit crimes around those drugs, they should, in fact, be punished. But you can't punish someone for something that hurts no one. In 10,000 years of known use of marijuana, there's never been a single death attributed to marijuana. There's 400,000 deaths in America alone every year that are directly attributed to tobacco. How many people in this country alone are addicted to antidepressants? How many people who are on antidepressants really have imbalances, and how many of them just got off of a bad relationship and they're depressed? The people that have personality problems and the people that are going to be lazy and going to lose their job, they're going to lose their job anyway. They're not losing their job because of marijuana. That's just a lie. Great quote that life is a tragedy to those who feel and a comedy to those who think. And if you are a thinker and you look at the marijuana situation and you're not laughing, you're fucking dumb. It's a weird thing that you do when you make nature against the law. There's a movement in this country, and some people have more faith in it than I do. Maybe from hosting Fear Factor all those years, I've lost my faith in human beings and their intelligence.
When I published Marijuana Reconsidered, in the last chapter, predicted that once people understood these things about marijuana, the prohibition would be gone. It would be gone in 10 years. Carl Sagan, who is a very good friend of mine, read the manuscript and he said, Lester, you're so pessimistic. 10 years? You know, well, here we are, you know, 45 years later, and nothing has happened. Nonetheless, it can't help but happen. I mean, you can't sustain a lie like that forever.
Well, Dave, are you with me, bud? Doesn't sound like Dave's back. Let me check and make sure I got my phone unmuted. Yep, I'm good to go. Not like last week where I tried to talk and my phone was muted. But while we wait for Dave to come back, just a bit of news. Resurrection Fighting Alliance, RFA, they've acquired Titan Fighting Championship along with their AXS TV deal. RFA announced...
Who is?
Oh, yes, there you are. Resurrection Fighting Alliance, RFA, they're based in they're based out of Kearney, Nebraska, and also Las Vegas. They recently acquired TFC, Titan Fighting Championship, all the fighter contracts along with the TV deal. The financial terms of the deal, of course, were not disclosed, but reading from a MMA Junkie report, Titan FC founder and president Joe Kelly says he'll now work for RFA. He said he's very excited to be working with the guys at Resurrection. He feels this is a partnership with all the potential for success. We are very like-minded with similar goals. So, you know, I'm kind of miffed, though, Dave, and I was wanting to get your opinion on this. RFA, Resurrection, they've had three events. They launched in late 2011. Titan FC, on the other hand, they launched in 06, and they've hosted more than 25 events, which most have aired, you know, on either HDNet or currently AXS TV. Isn't it usually the other way around? Isn't it usually the older one buying up, you know, the smaller one? Just kind of wondered how that happened.
Man. Well, in this business, people get burned out. And if they've built something that someone else wants, they can buy that if they're on their way up. Because the come up is pretty fun for a lot of people, and they're really good at it.
Right.
So to see something like this and to see a good organization and using some of the same employees, I really think they're just going to basically infuse it with better, or not better, but necessarily, but more fighters, better venues, and more exposure.
And also, you know, I mean, I just kind of wonder if you remember that Titan event that was canceled a couple weeks ago down in St. Louis. Junior Hernandez, Drew McFedries, they were both on the card. I was really looking forward to that. I'm just kind of wondering if that event wasn't canceled, you know, because this deal was in the works. I wonder how much the rain really did have to play with that event.
Or maybe there was a foul promoter around there sniffing around. I know that happens a little bit over in these areas.
Right, right.
Maybe
you never know, man. But,
maybe that was the straw that broke the camel's back and dude decided to sell. You never know, you know, and it's cool that they're going to use employees. I really like to see them using the same employees. And
yeah,
also,
I like Junior Hernandez, Drew McFedries as well, both of those guys. So, you know, I hope to see them fighting soon. I guess it looks like it's going to be on an RFA card instead of a Titan card. But either way, you know, good luck to those guys and, you know, shoot to RFA as well. You know, onward and upward, bigger and better things. Help
sure.
The sport grow, right?
I wonder who their announcer is.
I don't know, man. I'm not sure who they have as announcer right now. But without further delay, Dave.
I can yell names real loud. Who do we got next?
Next, we got UFC fighter, undefeated in the UFC cage, 3-0, a gentleman by the name of Ricardo Lamas. I'm punching in the last four digits of his phone number right now. His wife's a little under the weather, so I'm not going to keep him on the line too long, but we're going to dial him up and get him on the hook. Talk to him, you know, about his undefeated run in the UFC and see if he's heard anything about his next fight. We're dialing. Come on. We last saw him fight this past June at UFC on FX, the Maynard versus Guida card. He took on Hatsu Hayoki and ended up winning a three-round decision in that fight. Hi, Ricardo. Well, hello, Ricardo. Are you there? It looks like the call did not go through, so we'll try that again here in just one hot second, Dave. But, yeah, you know, seeing that Resurrection taking over Titan, you know, Resurrection already has some great names. You know, Joe Stevenson, Houston Alexander's over there. There's some other guys that fight with RFA, and I think, you know, folding in the Titan guys into that stable of fighters, I think will be a good thing, and, you know, it'll definitely help the sport grow, especially here in the Midwest.
Well, if Houston Alexander fights for him, they're legit because he don't mess around.
No, he doesn't, and I got the phone ringing. We'll see what happens.
Hello?
Hi, Ricardo?
Yeah.
Hey, this is Big Perm with UMOR. How the hell are you, man?
Good. How you doing, Vic?
I'm doing well. You're on live with me and my co-host, Dave the Butcher Clifford. Dave, you over there, man?
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for taking the time to talk to us today, Ricardo. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're quite welcome, man. First, I just we last saw you back in June at UFC on FX when you fought Hayoki and you won yourself a three-round decision. You're riding a 3-0 win streak in the UFC, brother. Have you heard anything? What's up next for you?
I haven't. I think basically what they're waiting on is to see how long Jose Aldo is going to be out for, and then based upon that, I think that'll help determine who my next opponent's going to be. But, you know, I'm really hoping for a number one contender fight, or if Jose Aldo's going to be out, hopefully they'll consider me for an interim title or something like that. You know, that's what we're shooting
for. I was just going to ask about an interim type deal, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, that'd be the best case scenario, but I just kind of got to sit back and see how all this unfolds.
Awesome. Did you get a chance to catch the event this weekend?
I did. I got to see, you know, a little bit on and off because I was one of the gyms that I go to was holding a Muay Thai event, so there were fights going on at the same time, but I kept looking back and forth, you know, and I was able to catch the main event all the way through.
And that we were talking about that earlier at the beginning of the show, Dave and I kind of going back and forth. And I was arguing, you know, I feel Anderson Silva is probably the best MMA fighter in the world. And Dave's of the opinion, you know, that Fedor holds that rank. But I don't know. What's your opinion, man?
You know, it's hard to compare the two because they both kind of reached their prime at different times. So, but, I mean, Anderson Silva is amazing. Fedor was amazing also. I think a match between those two both at the time would be the only way to figure out who was better.
That'd be an interesting fight.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah, because you could see Silva at 205 fighting Fedor about 225.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, I thought my words were taken out of context at that. And I want to say that you said greatest of all time, and I said, no, Fedor still holds that until Silva's done.
Oh, my apologies for taking your words out of context, Dave.
What I said was that John Jones right now is maybe the best MMA fighter out there. Best mixed martial artist, because look what he's done lately, man.
Yeah, he's one of these younger generation guys that's going to continue to get better and evolve with the sport. So he's definitely up there. I think a match between those two, although I think it's not going to happen because they both don't want it to happen, it's a shame if it doesn't happen because that would be probably the biggest fight to date in MMA history, I think.
Yeah, I thought that this 205 venture – another one for Silva meant that he was going to take Jones on, but all he's talking about is GSP. But you brought up younger generation fighters. And one of the things that a lot of guys do that are good at teaching and that like to share that knowledge and help people get better is by having seminars. And we understand that you got one coming up in our area, in our listening area. Why don't you tell us about that and who hooked you up with that and what's going down?
Yeah, it's going to be in Maryville, Indiana, and me and my old jiu-jitsu coach, Jeff Neal, are going to be putting on a seminar together November 10th from 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock, so you got, you know, 3 hours, and we're basically going to have it split up to where 1 hour we're going to be focusing on wrestling and wrestling for MMA, and then the next hour Jeff is going to take over and, you know, do his jiu-jitsu thing and and then the third hour will be back to me for MMA striking, and Jeff will also be doing some judo for, you know, beginners, kind of level two guys. So it's going to be a really good thing. We're trying to, you know, get as many people as possible, and hopefully it turns out really well.
Now, as far as getting ready to get an opponent in position for a submission, do you prefer judo into getting into a position to submit someone, or wrestling yourself?
Well, my main background is wrestling, so I prefer wrestling. But as of lately, I have one of my coaches down in Miami is also a real good judoka, and I've been picking up little things from him here and there. He's got a nasty foot sweep, and he Huchimata whizzes me from, like, any position. And so I've been starting to pick those up a little bit, and I kind of want to improve on that because I think it'll add a really great you know, thing to my repertoire, especially in MMA, especially when you're in the clinch. A lot of those judo throws could come into play really nicely.
Yeah, that works for Ricardo against Muay Thai fighters, huh?
What's that?
That works good to defend against Muay Thai fighters, I would assume, huh?
Yeah, you know, if they come in and try and clinch up with you and everything like that, it'll definitely help.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to drop to a single leg or a double after off of a clinch, it seems like, just from observation. But go ahead, Jeremy.
Well, I was just going to say, he had mentioned Miami. You train with, is it the MMA Masters down there in Miami?
Yeah, that's correct.
Oh, with Cesar?
Yep. Cesar
Carnero. No way, man. Carnero.
A little bit about the gym and who you're with down there.
Go ahead. Yeah, he wanted to talk about the gym, and I was like, I know, Carnero, man, I know him. He's cool as heck. He brought Palomino up here to fight in Grand Rapids, and I got to work the event, man.
Yeah, I was in the Moose Corner for that fight when he fought Cruikshank.
Yeah, that's right, and he won. He beat Cruikshank.
Yeah.
Handily.
Yeah, he won with a head kick TKO. Well, yeah, he dropped him with a head kick and then finished him. But, yeah, I was in his corner.
That's awesome. My job was to babysit the ring girls and help them up and down the stairs. That's what I was doing there.
Nice.
That sounds like a sweet gig.
Oh, I couldn't believe it. I got there, and I was really helping promote, and I was just there. I figured I'd just get a ticket, and they're like, all right, we got a job for you. And I was like, oh, man. And then they're like, you got to make sure the ring girls take the right cards and help them up and down the stairs. I said, what?
Nice. Easy job.
Yeah, I got them all a couple drinks, too.
There you go.
Increase my chances.
doesn't hurt.
No, it was fun, man. That was great. You guys represent, man. The MMA Masters is one of the best schools in the country, I believe.
Yeah, it is, and they're on, you know, they're coming up right now. We got a lot of guys that are UFC level. Baboon, in my opinion, is one of the best lightweights in the world right now.
Seriously,
training
dude.
Training with him is really elevated the game. Yeah, he is. I've never trained with anybody who has faster hands and hits as hard and is as agile, and his reaction to everything is crazy. Like, when I try and go boxing with him, it's like I'm even, like, airing him off with my punches because he just dodges everything. It's like I'm fanning him off.
Yeah, he's something else. Those guys, I mean, they really came ready to fight. That was awesome. I really appreciated getting to meet all you guys, too. I mean, we met there for sure. I just, you know, we just didn't know each other or anything. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was a good time. There's another guy from MMA Masters that fought there, too. Actually, too, Hermes Franco was with us when he fought there. And then the Bay Monstro fought on that card, too, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Remember, what's his name? Titties fought on there from that was on the Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Remember that? The crowd was chanting it. He was playing the part.
Yeah, he was the main event, I think, right?
Yeah, he fought, oh, man, Kryptonite Lopez.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Kryptonite should be in the UFC. He should get in there one of these times.
Yeah, you looked pretty good.
That was fun, man. That's cool as hell, dude. So who do you have for sponsors going on? Anybody you want to give some shout-outs to?
You know, I have a lot of local Chicago Hispanic-owned businesses that sponsor me, and they've been with me since day one, so, you know, I want to thank all of them. There's Mi Tierra Mexican Restaurant on 25th and Kedzie, Cafeterias Marianao, a real good Cuban sandwich place, Los Comales on Cicero, and, you know, there's just a ton. There's a lot. But I really want to thank, you know, my family, my friends, and my gyms, and Jeff Neal also, you know, Top Notch MMA, MMA Masters, Jeff Neal, and what he's done in my career, and you know, thank you guys for having me on the show also.
Oh, for sure, Ricardo, and thank you for taking the time tonight. I understand your wife's a little under the weather, so we don't want to keep you tied up too much, but we do want to say thank you for taking the time to sit and talk with us a little bit tonight and, you know, let us in on the life of Ricardo Lamas, undefeated UFC fighter so far.
I'd love to do the show again if you guys want to have me on. I could spend a little more time with you. And also to all the listeners, if they're interested in the seminar, they can go to jeffneal-mma.com. It's like got all the info up on there.
Oh, you beat me to the punch. That was my next. That was my next lick. I was just going to say, if folks had wanted info, jeffneal-mma.com, or you can also check out chicagommatraining.com as well. That'll also get you linked up. And well, Ricardo,
I guess
one last question.
I was going to go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh no, go ahead, Dave.
Well, I was going to send him off with one last question. I was going to ask, what's the most memorable moment of your MMA career so far?
Geez, that's a good question, man. There's a few, really. I think my very first fight in the WEC, going in there, you know, I came in on 4 days' notice against a veteran with over 40 fights, and it was my sixth pro fight. So after winning that was a very memorable moment because it kind of, you know, boosted my confidence more than anything, knowing that I could get in there and compete with those guys. My fight against Cub Swanson, my head wasn't really in that fight at all. The day before the weigh-ins, I was at my grandmother's funeral went from the cemetery to the airport to fly off to Anaheim, and then getting that win and the submission of the night was just huge.
That's a big win.
It was a huge win, and really, like, that first round, I wasn't even performing to half of the fighter that I am.
It's really cool to see some people can get used to winning and make it a habit.
Yeah, definitely. So that was a big one. And then my last fight with Hatsu, you know, I went into that fight with an injury also, and being able to come out with the win and finding a way to win was really gratifying, especially against a guy his caliber. So those were, are the three main ones that really stick out in my MMA career.
Hell yes. Well, listen, Ricardo, again, I want to say thank you for taking the time to join us tonight. Hope you're sending good vibes towards your wife as well. Hopefully she gets to feeling better. And hopefully we see you back in the cage soon. And as soon as we get word, man, we'll definitely want to get you back on the show, talk about it, and see what else you got cooking.
For sure, man. Thanks a lot for having me, and I look forward to be back on the show again.
Right on. Take care, brother, and have a good night.
You too. Bye.
All right, later.
All right. That's 3-0 in the UFC octagon, Mr. Ricardo Lamas. Hopefully we'll
see
him.
What a great night of interviews, man.
Oh, dude, I'm telling you what, man. You know, starting out with Mike the Marine Richmond, a Bellator fighter, on then Barb Honchak, Invicta fighter, and last but not least, Ricardo Lamas, UFC fighter. I mean, we've had some great guests on tonight, some great interviews, and I've had a ball.
I'll tell you, one of the things that I really love about this job and getting to do all these things, and you know, the fact that you and Chris Maltzberger are here to help me, and the fact that I get it's such a small world. All these guys end up having ties to one of us or the areas that we live in a lot of different ways. And
it's
you
like
know,
every week, you know, every week there's a new discovery.
Yeah, and I really like to give back, and so especially, you know, with Caesar and all those guys down at MMA Masters, and of course Jeff Neal. Why don't you give them those websites again? What was it, jeffneal-mma.com?
Yeah, if you're interested and you want some more information on that seminar with Jeff Neal and Ricardo Lamas, it's Saturday, November 10th in Merrillville, Indiana. I have to go back through my text messages to get the gym name. But you can get more information at Jeff Neal. It's jeffneal-mma.com. And then also more information about Jeff and some other training and one-on-one training and seminars and different things. You can go to chicagommatraining.com as well. Both of those websites will get you hooked up.
And, of course, that information brought to you by Tri-County Cab, Central Illinois' best cab company. Give them that number.
It's 309-497-1111. Put it in your phone now for when you need it later. Don't drink and drive, y'all. It's not a good thing to do. Uh-oh, Dave.
No!
righty. Well, as we end the show each and every week, we like to end with a little segment that we call spontaneous combustion, as Dave spontaneously combusts over there.
Someone call the fire department. This was out of control.
I'm telling you, man, put that man out. He's on fire.
It's poop again.
Well,
don't
listen,
put it out with your boots, Tad. Don't tell me about business, devil woman.
Well, this segment, each and every week, it's where I lob up a topic and Dave just kind of goes off and does his thing and gives his input. And what I want to talk about this week, Dave, is fighter salary. I recently read a report on the UFC on FX5 event that recently took place up in Minnesota. They released the payroll and
really?
You know, the fighter breakdown of what they made. Yeah, the total payroll for that event, you know, was $538,000, so just a little over $500,000. With
damn,
with the headline and fight, you know, Bigfoot taking on Travis Brown. Bigfoot walked away with 70,000 with no win bonus, and Travis Brown in defeat walked away with 20,000. Now the one that caught my eye right off the bat was the Jake Ellenberger Jay Heron. Ellenberger walked away with 84,000, you know, 42,000 to show, and then he got the 42,000 win bonus. And in defeat, Jay Heron walked away with 12,000. And you know, the list goes on and on. I just, you know, wanted to get your opinion on fighter pay and what you thought about it, where it is today compared to where it was and where you think it might be going.
Well, do you have that whole fight card in front of you right now in the pay scales?
Yeah, I got the breakdown for most everybody. The one.
All right,
you
let's
know,
start with the main event. So you said that Bigfoot got a 70 flat.
Yep, 70,000, no win bonus. Travis Brown
he did pretty
20.
Darn well for himself on that fight. And fighting Brown, Brown's a tough opponent. And what did he get, 40, you said, 20?
20.
20 to show, and he would have gotten a win bonus if he won.
Right.
And then that sounds like it's pretty high. That's a good amount of pay for somebody, you know. 70,000 is a lot of fucking money, dude.
You know what? What caught my eye looking at this, I mean, going on down the list, it gives everybody's breakdown, but one fight that didn't happen was the Dennis Hallman-Thiago Tavares fight. Hallman missed weight for the fight, and then at the last minute, he was a scratch, I guess due to family issues or something. But Hallman was still paid his show and his win money. He got $54,000 and was released from his contract, while Tavares earned his show money of $26,000. That kind of, you know, I scratched my head for a second. You know, Hallman misses weight, pulls out of the fight, still gets show and win money. Of course, he's released from his contract. I think, you know, with Hallman missing weight, I think Tavares should have got a chunk of that cash. What do you think?
Well, you know, upon thinking about that and the way you present it to me, I guess that one of the things that comes to mind as we go down the list, let's say, is that it's kind of, I've heard people in the business say at some of the higher levels that it's all about how good of a contract you can write. And if you can write a good contract, or your guy can write a good contract, then you get hooked up. If you don't, that's your bad. They can take advantage of you in several different ways. Now, just getting the show money because you showed and made weight, that's pretty fair. So, really, I can't really bitch about that. I've seen times when if a guy didn't make weight, if that's the only reason, you know, is that they just show up and they're too fat or too whatever, you know, generally too overweight,
right,
and can't get the cut. They get time to cut, and they have to be within 2 pounds or something like that, or 1 pound either way, or whatever the other fighter demands. Sometimes they agree to a catch weight, blah, blah, blah. If the reason he wasn't on weight is because there were some family problems, whatever they were, I imagine that they probably, that judging by the fact that they bought out his contract and just said, all right, look, you get this and that's it. You're done. No more two fights, no more blah, 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 just get out of here. You decide to come back, you got to do it through other ways. That's mighty white of Dana, not to use
right. Fun.
No pun intended, but you know, so that's cool that they took care of somebody that's obviously had something come up that obviously must have been unexpected. He's not the type of guy that would just get lazy the reason he didn't make weight is probably because of the family emergency. Maybe he waited till the last minute to tell him about it. Or maybe he wasn't going to tell him about it, and he found out, you know. So, you know, I'm quick to jump on people for shit, but I got to say that judging by the numbers and by what we can surmise from them, that Dana was pretty darn cool to those guys for doing that. And that was legit. And that those salaries don't seem low to me, because I know a lot of friends of mine who are getting into these leagues, and now that there's more leagues, that's going to be good for people, and the pay scales are going up. And it really does come down to, what kind of a contract can you write? What can you get the other guys to accept? And that's up to your managers, and that's where that stuff in their lawyers and whoever does it, you know, where it comes into play. That's not up to me to tell someone where to go, but that's usually what you hear from fighters, huh?
Most definitely. So get yourself a good manager who can write a good contract.
So what did you think? Were you lobbing those numbers at me because you thought I might think they were low?
You know, honestly, yeah. I think those numbers are low. You know.
Well, how about this? Get up. You got that fancy computer in front of you, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you check out what the pay scale is for the last pay-per-view?
I want to know that. They brought in like $2.5 to $3 million.
How much was the payroll?
The payroll was $538,000.
So it was similar.
What's that again?
So the payouts were similar, like $70,000 to the winner of the main event.
Yeah, they were similar. Yeah. I don't know. Just in my opinion, I just when I saw the numbers, I thought that they'd be like twice as much. Michigan fighter Marcus Levesser took on Carlo Prater. You know, he walked away with $12,000. You know, six to show, six to win. I just imagined that these guys got paid a little bit more money.
That's kind of a lot for an undercard fight. When you think about the fact that some of these amateur fights, I mean, I wouldn't divulge this information because I don't know if it's public, but I've seen payrolls before. And
right.
That, to me, if they're keeping those numbers which sound like they're low, that helps out everybody across the board, and that's kind of nice, too. That's fucked up that I got to be so nice about the UFC, but, hey, man, I'm kind of discovering. I can't combust on that. You know, and honestly, one of the things I would like to speak on is, and this is kind of pertinent to Illinois, Michigan's getting ready to get legislature, and we're going to do state titles, and we're going to have promoters get together. People are going to get along. People are going to share money even. All of a sudden, at all the events I'm doing, all the amateur and pro-am and pro promoters are all starting to form not just alliances with each other in small pockets, but they're all starting to share. It's a weird, beautiful thing.
And that's the beauty in the growth. I mean, we're going to go through growing pains, but it's nice to see up there in Michigan things coming together. You know,
yeah,
Dave,
we've been the Wild West for a long time, and it's really nice to, you know, I'm quick to jump on a motherfucker if they're stupid, you know, or if they fuck shit up or if they're foul. But I also
right.
want to let it be known that I notice and appreciate these people all trying to form a good working environment for all of us.
Well, I've had somebody on hold here for a little bit. I've been putting them off, but I'm not going to do that any longer. Our boy Muggs is on the line. I'm going to bring him in.
Sweet.
I think. Maybe.
I worked with him last weekend.
Muggsy, are you there?
Yeah, man. Actually, I was going to... I thought I was on the Unified Masturbators reunion radio station, but I guess this is UMOR.
No butt plugs here.
This is, that's okay. I still got some feed, man. I still got something to feed you guys. Lots of events coming up this weekend. Over in Canada, we got Score. That's a pro series. Like to see how much them guys are making. That'd be pretty cool to find out on the lower ranked pro shows in Canada what those guys are swinging, you know. And, hey, I get to talk to Dom O'Grady this weekend, too. So maybe I'll pick his brain about what Bellator paid him for that win this last weekend. You know what I'm saying?
Hell yeah.
If you think you should ask him, you might want to do
right
that.
On.
That's a good question.
And, well, hey, man, if we can get like a base, You know what I'm saying? Something low, something high. Anyway, so Scores kicking off an event. We got WXC 40 over in Taylor, Michigan. And then Prison City Fight League on the 20th, which is Saturday. They're kicking off, too. That seems to be the major events here in Michigan. There is an event out in Colorado, too.
Oh, Traverse City, Caged Aggression, same night.
Caged Aggression, that's right, up in Traverse City, man. Our man got to meet him face-to-face finally this weekend, Mr. Pilly Office. Running the show up there, right?
With Big John, yep.
Yeah, with Big John. Big John, too, man. God, it was great working with you, by the way, Dave. A pleasure
Thanks,
to be side by side with you. And you know, we got pumped out while we could get pumped out. I'm actually getting a lot of clapping hands from different folks about watching it. And we had a lot of good viewers going. Anyways, but yeah, big shows this weekend. I was wondering, guys, you know, things have been really strange lately. And I really wish I could have got to sit down with, you know, or be able to talk with Ricardo there. I've been going to the gym a lot, and I got a stinky glove situation going on. And there has got to be some super secret insider information to stinky gloves, you know what I mean? Because hands perspire, you know, kind of like when you're jerking off, your hands get all sweaty. And then, you know, you got to wash up because, you know, it's stinks.
Hey.
What?
No, I'm just talking. I'm like, what?
Buy new one.
What did I say? Thought this was
buy new
gloves.
That's my answer. Buy new gloves.
Right on. Next time, get me on the. I'll get you some info on O'Grady. Hey,
where's that?
Oh, there it is. Good night, gentlemen.
See ya. Get out of here.
Peace out.
That was our boy Muggsy bringing
it's
us
funny
our
every
weekly,
time.
We're bringing us our weekly dose of Michigan MMA action. And of course, he gets the gong.
Gong!
So, Dave, what do you got coming up, man?
Well, I'm doing Caged Aggression in Traverse City, the original and one and only Caged Aggression, Traverse City, Michigan, October 20th. And then I got November, I'm doing one in Grand Rapids area, Cedar Rock, Sportsplex, Cedar Springs. I got a bunch of shit coming up here. I got a pro show we're doing in Sault Ste. Marie. And we got a couple other pro shows coming up in the near future. Spider Submissions coming up. I got a lot of cool shit coming up. I'm going to have some fun, dude. And be talking shit with you and other people.
Sounds like a good time. I'm going to have to come up there to Michigan one of these weekends and hang out with you guys and kick it at a fight. And sounds like you guys have just too much fun that I'm missing out on.
I'm telling you, man, it's halfway between hell and paradise.
Hell yeah. Well, listen, Dave, I just want to say thanks to you again for taking the time to join us this week. Each and every Wednesday night, Dave can be heard on, what's the name of that show?
Uncaged MMA with Chris Dantuma. This week we've got Leonard Garcia.
Awesome, man. That dude is always fun to watch fight. Win or lose, that guy is a banger.
Yeah, he's one of my favorites, too. It's going to be a pleasure interviewing him. Shout-outs to Casey Danford of the Elevation Trading Mask for getting me that interview. He's helping us out here. Of course, we had Sean Shirk on the show. And, you know, definitely want to thank Tri-County Cab again, our favorite and first sponsor.
Without a doubt, 309.
What's that number?
97. It's 309-497-1111. Put it in your phone now for when you need it later.
Absolutely.
Listen, Dave.
Sure. Yep.
Time to bounce on down the road, homeboy.
All right, my man. It was a pleasure. It was a great show. Thanks to our guests again, of course. We had Barb Honchak, Mike the Marine Richmond, and Ricardo Lamas.
And, of course, Dave the Butcher Clifford.
Thank you very much, and you have a great night, man.
Hey, you as well, brother, man. Thanks again, and I will talk to you soon, man.
See
you. All righty, gang. As our co-host, Dave the Butcher Clifford, heads on down the highway somewhere between hell and paradise, a place they call Benzonia, Michigan. Thanks again, Dave. Once again, I want to thank all of our guests, starting out with Bellator fighter Mike the Marine Richmond. Good luck with your fight coming up November 9th against Shamalayev, I believe is how you say it. Also, big thank you to Barb Honchak, Invicta fighter,
trains up there at Core Fitness with Junior Hernandez and those guys. Good luck in your title fight coming up whenever that does happen, Barb. We are definitely cheering for you to walk out of there with the gold around your waist. And last but not least, thank you again to Ricardo Lamas, UFC fighter. Guy's 3-0 in the cage. I can't wait to see him in there again. Thank you very much for taking the time out tonight to join us, bud. And we definitely look forward to having you back on the show very soon. Again, I want to say thanks to my producer, Chris Maltzberger of Blue Blood MMA, hooking me up, hooking us, me and Dave both, hooking us up with great guests each and every week. Tri-County Cab of Peoria, Illinois. Fred and Mike, thanks again so much, guys. 309-497-1111. Central Illinois' best cab company. You put that number in your phone now for when you need it later. Gang, check us out on Facebook. It's facebook.com/uncensoredMMAradio. Find us there. You can find out who we'll have on the show next week. We're always having fun over there. Most important, I just want to say thanks to you guys for listening to the show each and every week. Without you, you know, we wouldn't have a reason really to do this. I mean, we'd probably still do it just because it's so much fun. But anyway, I want to say thanks again to you guys for listening. And as we take off this week, I leave you with some more music by my boy Dollar Bill. That boy's going places. And, you know, like I said to him earlier this week, you know, it's an honor to know him. And I truly mean that. Thanks again, man. And good luck with everything you got going on, brother. And until next Monday night, guys, we'll see you next Monday night at 8 p.m. Central. See ya.
Chunk.